Evening, everybody. Good to see you. So we have the parable of the visitor at midnight. Sounds a bit dramatic, doesn't it? Okay. So this is one of 32 parables in the New Testament that Jesus tells. And we should remember that parables are everyday stories which reveal spiritual truths, everyday stories which reveal spiritual truths. Now, there's one thing we need to get out of the way with this straight away. One could read this account, you know, a number of times and get the impression that Jesus is describing God as a grumpy neighbour, a sleepy, blurry-eyed neighbour, and to get any response from him, you have to hammer on the door incessantly, and eventually he's so fed up with you that he might do something. Now, for those technically minded, you need to press the delete button of your mind if that's the impression that you've held from this story, or if you're a Luddite like myself, you need the mental tipex over that view. So, having got that out of the way, we can move forward a little. And let's look at the setting of where this story comes in Scripture, found in chapter 11 of Luke's Gospel, which is given the title Teaching About Prayer. And in verse 1, it tells us, Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So in the following verses, Jesus teaches something well known to us, which is known as the Lord's or the disciples' prayer. And then in verse 5, the text says, then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. So here we have a window on Jesus teaching his first disciples how to pray. And we have the Lord's Prayer there. And here we have the second part of Jesus' teaching on prayer. So this is really core stuff. It's a window into the core teaching of Jesus to his disciples. And we're very fortunate that Luke has recorded this for us. We should note that the story starts with Jesus saying, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight. It's not a mythical figure or Fred Bloggs or whatever. He says, imagine you went to a friend's house at midnight. So it's potentially a personal story for all of us and each of us to enter into. So let's continue that story. So you go to your neighbour, who's also your friend, at midnight, wanting 3 loaves of bread for a visitor who you didn't expect and weren't prepared for. Your approach is just that should be applied to prayer. You go as a friend. You have expectation and confidence. Hebrews 4 verse 16 tells us to approach God's throne with confidence. You go for the need of another. You have courage to ask, and you are shamelessly persistent in your approach. And your neighbour responds. Eventually, after saying he's put his children to bed and he doesn't want to disturb them, and those of us who've had young children, yeah, we understand that, don't we? But eventually, through clenched teeth, he does do what you ask him to do. And that's because social etiquette of the time says that that's what you do if a neighbour comes to you. And also your constant knocking has annoyed him so much, he just wants it to stop. But this is where Jesus illustrates the different character and different response of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father responds from a completely opposite viewpoint. Your neighbour answers because he is annoyed by your persistence. However, God responds because he is pleased with our persistence. Your Heavenly Father, who is big-hearted and generous, and he wants to meet his children's needs. Our Heavenly Father never sleeps and slumbers, never argues or offers excuses, loves us and wishes to meet our needs, and gives graciously and generously. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. Jesus says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. John Eldridge said, effective prayer is like the felling of a great tree. It takes many blows. We might think back to that picture this morning from Dan of that huge sequoia and perhaps reflect that, yes, effective prayer is like the felling of a great tree. It takes many blows. And the 19th century evangelist D.L. Moody is recorded of having a prayer list of 100 friends who he wanted to become followers of Jesus. And he prayed regularly for these 100 friends. And when it came to the day of his death, 96 had become believers in Jesus. And we may think perhaps he didn't knock hard enough. However, the last four on his list attended his funeral, where the gospel was proclaimed, and there the final four became believers. Persistent is a sound principle. But Jesus talks about more than mere persistence in this story. Jesus goes on to describe parenthood, ordinary people giving good things to their children, and how much more our Heavenly Father is willing to give things to his children. We should never treat God as a vending machine, prayer in, blessing out. Jesus is talking about relationship with our Heavenly Father. In a healthy relationship, a son or daughter does not go to their father only when there is a crisis or an emergency. But the fellowship is constant and ongoing. They will enjoy the Father's constant love and will learn his character and ways. The asking, seeking, and knocking describes our side of an interactive and dynamic relationship. We might keep asking for understanding of God's word. We might keep seeking God's purposes for our lives, whatever season of life we are in. And we keep knocking for the needs of others. It was quite striking a few weeks ago when Jonathan Edwards talked about the big things in our world that prayer has moved. The Berlin Wall coming down, apartheid being demolished, and the peace or relative peace we have in Northern Ireland. And I remember praying for all those things as a youngster in the 80s. And it was helpful to look back and say, yes, many churches have persevered with those prayers and they have been answered. If we were focusing tonight on the parallel account of this in Matthew's gospel, which is entitled Effective Prayer, we would probably go home at this point and we would be done. Because it concludes in this way. It says, "If you sinful people know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" And we would close the text and we would reflect on how generous is at meeting our material needs. And that would be good. And that is tremendous. However, in this text, we have to go to the final verse, the bottom line here. And it says, Jesus is recorded saying here, "How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And if this was a house group, I might say, what do we think of that, folks? What do we make of that? Because that's a little different to our conservative approach to prayer, our asking requests of God. It's asking for a regular refreshing and empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives, a bit like our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. It's asking for regular empowering of God's Spirit in our lives. Many of our prayers focus on the physical and the material, and it's really good to pray for healing of the sick or to pray for a job opportunity for someone who needs work. That's excellent, and God loves and honours those prayers. But the Holy Spirit leads to growth in character and conduct that honours God. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. They are a changed person." And how does that happen? Romans 12:2, he also says, "You must be renewed in the attitude of your mind." So we are looking at believers who are more than people with a little bit of religion bolted on. We're looking for changed and renewed people. So what do we know about the Holy Spirit? Jesus describes him as the comforter and the helper. He's present with every believer, if we have a look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. He assures us of our place in eternity. That's in Romans 8:23. And he enables us to call God Father, affirming with us that we are God's children. So he's in there with us, assuring us of our place in eternity, and we can call God our Father. Good as that is, it goes further. The Holy Spirit gives us a fruitful character. And Galatians 5:22, we hear about the fruit or character traits that the Holy Spirit brings to the believer. And these are all part of one fruit. So the believer receives these as a unit. And the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. And this fruit will attract people to the kingdom. They will be attracted by the fruit. And of course, in the biological word, the seed is with the fruit, isn't it? So the fruit is taken and the seed is spread. And Jesus tells us to ask for these character traits in our personalities and in our lives. But it goes further. We also read of spiritual gifts, abilities to serve in the church. And sometimes we doubt our abilities. We look at the church and we say, we have not a lot to offer. we couldn't do this and we couldn't do that. But in the scriptures, there are many examples of spiritual gifts, teaching, mercy, healing, the ability to give wise advice, and even administration, which the Holy Spirit gives to equip members to serve within the church. Paul says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. And he also says, seek those gifts that will strengthen the whole church. So it's an outward-looking request. Or, same verse, different version, try to excel in the gifts that build up the whole church. That's in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 12. So if we take hold of Jesus' bottom line tonight, the question for us is, as the midnight visitors, which we all are, will we seek a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit which will build up the church? And will we receive the fruit of the Spirit? Will we ask for the fruit of the Spirit, which will allow our character to be transformed and attract people to the seed of the kingdom? So that's a big challenge to go away with tonight. So just some final thoughts on this passage, the midnight visitor. We are the midnight visitor, but God is not sleepy, he's not grumpy. We must pray. Jesus did so, so how much more do we need to pray? We should pray as children coming to a good father, and we should be persistent in our prayer. And we should ask for growth in character and conduct through the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Let us just pray a moment. Our Father, what a privilege to come before you as one of your children. I can know with certainty that I belong to you because your word tells me so. And as your child, I am an heir. What a thought. It's rags to riches. A prince and the pauper story. Only this isn't fiction. For you are king. And I am your child. You have blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Father, let me live in that knowledge today. And let me seek out others to share with them this sweet relationship. Because I'm certain you want more children. I pray this in your holy name. Amen.